John chapter 3 verses 1 through 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 3,600 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuary members, those who are attending their service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, and television viewing audiences. I hope you will fully understand the messages you heard and have firm faith so that you will be able to clearly preach the providence of salvation of cross to all people. Also, I urge you to guide the newcomers to listen to the message of the cross and have a sound understanding of the contents of this sermon series. By fully understanding these 23 sermons, you can confidently believe in Jesus Christ and lead an enjoyable Christian life experiencing the works of the Holy Spirit. I pray in the name of the Lord that the evidence of the Word of God will be living and active so that you will be filled with life and grace. Viewing audiences, today's passage is a scene where Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus and had a conversation on spiritual matters. Nicodemus was a ruler, and being a Pharisee, he was also a teacher who knew the law very well. Jesus often harshly rebuked the Pharisees. They thought they were serving God very well, but in fact, their hearts were not following the truth, and they were far away from God. They didn't believe Jesus' teachings, but rather, they opposed and tried to kill him. The rulers of the Jews, including the Pharisees, agreed to put those who believed in Jesus out of the synagogue. This means they would ostracize these people. But Nicodemus was different from other Pharisees. He knew God's word and kept his law, but was not satisfied by just pretending to be holy on the outside. He had a thirst for the truth. When he had heard about Jesus, he had a deep hope that Jesus would be able to quench his thirst and came to him at night. He came at night because he did not yet have the faith to come to Jesus boldly in front of other people during the daytime. If we see the later records about him, we can see that he finally received salvation. For example, in John chapter 7 verses 50 to 51, we can see he spoke up for Jesus in front of angry Pharisees. He says, Nicodemus said to them, He who came to him before, being one of them, Our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it? Since the words and deeds of Jesus were not unrighteous, Nicodemus was trying to point out the mistakes of the Pharisees who were trying to harm Jesus. It is not something that is easy to do. It is comparable to a government official speaking up in an Islamic country that strictly prohibits Christianity, or in a Hindu country that prohibits publicly speaking up for Christianity. Nicodemus might have lost his position and even his life, but he still spoke up for Jesus. Also, after Jesus died on the cross, John chapter 19 verse 39 says, And Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. Even after Jesus died, being in the position of a criminal, Nicodemus still came to serve him. Looking at his deeds, we can infer that he had received salvation. Today's passage is the scene where Nicodemus met with Jesus before he knew the truth and talked to him for the first time. He said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Those who have goodness will immediately recognize other people if they perform signs and wonders and God's powerful works, that they are men of God, coming from God, and that God is with them. Because Nicodemus had a good heart, he did not want to doubt or argue about what Jesus was doing, but rather he confessed his faith first. He confessed that Jesus came from God. Jesus knew the thirst in his heart and answered something that Nicodemus had not yet asked. He said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven just because we have knowledge and wealth. Neither can we receive salvation just by knowing the Word of God and attending church for a long period of time. Unless we are born again, although we attend church and have titles in the church, it is of no use, and we cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. But Nicodemus could not understand what Jesus was saying. He said, Born again? How can a grown-up man be born again? Nicodemus could not even imagine it. When you came to church for the first time and heard that you have to be born again, you probably didn't understand what it meant. You may also feel it is difficult to understand not only these spiritual words well, but the spiritual meaning of other words as well until your spiritual eyes and ears are opened. But if you constantly try to learn and understand, and if you ask for God's grace, at a certain point in time, God's grace will fall on you. You will be able to understand the words that you used to find difficult, and those words will become both interesting and emotion-filled. This is not the case only for new believers, but all believers. As I stated earlier, in today's passage, Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews and a teacher, so he knew the law and the Word of God very well. But he still could not understand when Jesus was speaking in terms of something that is spiritual. Is there any of you who still do not understand spiritual words? Being a new believer or not doesn't really matter in understanding spiritual words. If you understand it, you can understand it even today. Or even though they are born Christians, some people don't understand it. Those who trust and believe the Word of God and accept it unconditionally with only Amen will quickly receive God's grace so that they can understand spiritual words. But if you try to understand God's Word with your knowledge, experience, and thoughts, your spiritual ears will not open even after decades, so you won't understand spiritual words. It's the same today. Church members who have attended for a long time, those who hold church titles, and even among the ministers, if they have not gained spiritual understanding, just as it was with Nicodemus, they cannot understand. Even though they may have a doctorate in theology and ministry, and have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, they cannot understand without the spiritual meaning of the word. They are not able to experience the works of God or raise the flock spiritually, so their churches are not able to grow. That is why even the Apostle Paul, who had such great knowledge, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1-2, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It would have been the same if the Apostle Paul had lived in today's world and did his ministry. He wouldn't have tried to rely on computers, books, knowledge, or anything like that. He would have only prayed to God and preached the Word by the works of the Holy Spirit and done his ministry with the power of God. As said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." We can realize the spiritual secrets and also accomplish God's kingdom greatly only through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. In order to accomplish the kingdom of God more greatly and more clearly understand the will of God, we have to understand the secret of the cross more deeply and understand God's word in our minds spiritually. Coming back to the passage, Nicodemus, who did not understand what Jesus said, asked him again, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Our Lord is explaining in spirit now. Man of flesh cannot understand it. They will only hear it in a fleshly way. How can a man be born again after getting old? It's an obvious question. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? This is also an obvious question. That's why if you do not understand something spiritual, you will have misunderstandings and you will lead a fleshly Christian life. This way, you shouldn't misunderstand and argue about God's word. And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." What Jesus is talking about is not about the flesh that will perish. It is spiritual in context. He was saying that for a man to enter into the heavenly kingdom, his spirit that is invisible must be born again, not the visible body. The first man, Adam, was created as a living spirit, but his spirit died as a result of his fall in sin. Now he was not a living spirit anymore, but a man of flesh. As said, which is born of the flesh is flesh. Descendants of Adam, who became a man of flesh, were born in the flesh as well. All mankind became man of flesh, whose spirit was dead. Man of flesh cannot enter into heavenly kingdom. They have to fall into hell, the way of death. For a man to enter into heavenly kingdom, this dead spirit must be revived, and it is done by water and spirit. When I say this, those who are new here and new believers probably don't understand it. But the Bible is not like the education in the schools, where we have to learn from the most basic to the relatively more difficult ones. In the education of this world, in math, you begin with addition and subtraction, and multiplication and division. But in the Bible, though it may seem it is difficult to understand in the beginning, if you keep on hearing the word, you'll be able to understand. Jesus said about these spiritual things, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We can hear the sound of wind, but we cannot see it. We cannot find out where wind starts to blow and where it stops. Just like the wind that we cannot see, we cannot understand spiritual things within the limit of our flesh. Even with the development of science, we cannot understand everything in this world. We may say we know about winds with modern science today, but even a country like the United States could not prevent the disaster of hurricanes. Even though they knew where it would land, they couldn't prevent it. In fact, as science and technology develop more, we can only more clearly realize that God the Creator is truly Almighty and that man's knowledge and ability have clear and definite limitations. Also, even if they know earthquake will take place, they cannot prevent it. They cannot prevent a volcano eruption either. There are many forest fires around the world, but they cannot prevent them. If they are made by man, they can be careful about it. But many forest fires are natural, they cannot prevent it. Also, when they have hurricanes or monsoons, heavy rain, why do people complain against God? I hear such news quite often. They grumble against God, although they don't even believe in God. But believers wouldn't complain against God. Why? We know we'd rather have to repent. Since we were not eligible to be under God's protection, we should look back and repent. But those unbelievers complain against God when they face disasters. It should never happen, actually. That is why many scientists try to prove that the Word of God is true in a scientific way. Likewise, man cannot even understand the blowing of wind, and how can they understand things of heavenly kingdom, the spiritual realm? Viewing audiences, then what does it mean by being born again by water and spirit? Let us first look at the water. Here, water is the same water as said in John chapter 4, verse 14, well of water springing up to eternal life. As said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. By drinking this water of eternal life, men are born again. Then what is this well of water springing up to eternal life? In the last session, I told you we do not have eternal life if we do not eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. To eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to keep God's word in our heart, and to drink His blood is to practice the word of God with faith. Likewise, eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of Man, namely the Word of God itself, becomes the water giving eternal life to man. Water washes away the filth and stains and gives life to everything. Even spiritually, water, namely the Word of God, washes the stain of sins and gives us eternal life. How dirty is it if you have envy, jealousy, hatred, and anger in your heart? When we stand before God later, those who did not cast off the defilement of sins will be too ashamed to be able to lift up their faces. But if the Word of God comes into our heart, the filth of sins will be washed away. For example, as explained in the last session, if we have spiritual love in our heart, hatred, envy, and jealousy, and anger, and seeking our own benefit are washed away. When we wash away the sins and evil in our heart, we can be born again and receive salvation. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 also says, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's Word is the truth itself. And Jesus Christ, who is the Word that came to this earth in flesh. Jesus, who is the Word, resurrected and became the Savior. Thenceforth, all the words in both Old Testament and New Testament were fulfilled to be true. By believing these words, and when we keep them in our minds and practice them, we become more righteous. Namely, the Word of God gives life to man and makes them righteous men. You can feel that you have been changed so much if you compare your present self to the time when you came to this church for the first time, maybe 5 or 10 years, or even 1 or 2 years ago. You can feel you have become more righteous and good. Those who truly believe God's Son, who is the Word, as their Savior, will naturally believe and practice all the commandments in the 66 books of the Bible. When God's Word is in you and washes your hearts, it is the evidence that you are saved. The water baptism is the symbolization of washing our heart with the Word of God. Before I was changed by the truth, I had many arguments with my wife before I accepted God. Sometimes I couldn't control myself. If I couldn't understand something at all and was so angry, I would break the TV. Some husbands punch the wall because they can't hit their wife. But if I hit the wall, only my fist would hurt. Although I would face some financial loss if I broke the TV, I did it to demonstrate that I am so angry that I cannot bear it anymore, so please stop here. But did my wife change because I did that? Of course not. The other person will not change that way. But since I accepted the Lord and changed myself by the word of truth, my wife also changed. I had to change first. I pointed out her mistakes before I changed. And why did I do it? It was to seek my own benefit. I wanted her to suit me. I was actually asking my wife to do what I wanted. Because I was seeking my own this way, we couldn't become one. If she obeyed my word 100%, maybe we could. But it didn't happen. She also has her pride and her own thoughts. Before I got married, I used to talk with my friends that man should be able to control his wife. We were saying those things because we didn't know anything. But after getting married, I couldn't change my wife. It was not easy. She wouldn't listen to my words. Until I accepted God and came to know the truth, I was only trying to change her as light for several years. So how hard it was. But after I accepted the Lord, I realized all those things were meaningless. But it was possible when I myself changed. You can just serve the other and obey your spouse. Then your spouse will change too. Thus, in the Lord, our lips were always singing praises, and we could have peaceful and beautiful family. If I hadn't accepted the Lord, I wouldn't have survived. But anyway, I would have been arguing until now. But I wouldn't have divorced. Why? I would have pity on my children. I can't let my children suffer. But still, I would have been having constant arguments. But because of the grace of God and the Lord, after I came to know the truth so gratefully, I could change myself. Then my wife also changed, and we could have a peaceful family. Therefore, we have to wash ourselves with the Word of God. Myself is very evil. I already explained to you, when I talked to you about the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life, I explained to you what the self is. You know, the self has come from the world and you made yourself with untruth by hearing and learning from people of untruth and untruthful books. You have to analyze yourself correctly and demolish it. You have to die every day. On the contrary, the Christ, the truth, has to live in you. This way, if you change into man of spirit, then you can have peace even with your enemies. Next, let us look at the Spirit. This Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God who comes into the hearts of saved children of God and helps them gain complete salvation. John chapter 15 verse 26 says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, as said, since the Lord resurrected and ascended into heaven, God sent His Holy Spirit to His children who are saved." Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As said, if you hear the gospel, repent, and accept Jesus as your Savior, you will receive forgiveness of your sins, and the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. If you receive the Holy Spirit, your dead spirit revives, and you gain spiritual faith with which you can truly believe." Viewing audiences, 1 John chapter 5, verses 5 to 8 says, "And who is the one who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement." Here, Jesus Christ coming with water and the blood means that the water, which is the Word, came to this earth in flesh and died, shedding His precious blood. Because Jesus died on the cross for us, we receive salvation by that power of blood. Therefore, the one who came with the water and the blood is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, who came after Jesus' ascension helps us believe this fact firmly. It is said, those who believe Jesus is the Son of God will overcome the world. It does not mean we fight against the people in this world. It means we fight and win the victory over worldly lusts and do not become stained with sins. The Holy Spirit not only helps us believe in the Lord confidently, but also gives us strength to overcome this world by letting us realize about sin, righteousness, and the judgment. If we, in the work of the Holy Spirit, realize what sin is, that we have to accomplish righteousness, and that there is judgment, we will naturally follow the desires of the Holy Spirit. It means we will wash away the sins in our heart with water every day. Then the untruths in our heart will be removed, and our heart will change into a heart of truth. Finally, our heart will be filled with only truths, just like when Adam was created as a living spirit. This is the process of giving birth to the Spirit through the Spirit. You are diligently giving birth to Spirit through the Holy Spirit. If you believe and obey the Word of God, you are giving birth to Spirit through the Holy Spirit. So yourself 2 years ago, and 1 year ago, and right now, are all different. You are different from 1 month ago too. Why? Because you keep on giving birth to Spirit through the Holy Spirit, you resemble the Lord with more and more goodness. Only those who are born again with the water and the Spirit and give birth to Spirit this way can see the kingdom of God. These people will soon understand the spiritual words and feel them in their heart. Let me conclude the message, viewing audiences. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Even salvation is God's gift. Man cannot be born again by water and spirit and reach eternal life only by the love of God the Father. It is the gift that we received without any price. Man can never be saved only with their own effort or ability. There is no other way of salvation but the way of cross. Because Jesus perfected the way of salvation for us by taking the cross within the sacred providence of God that had been hidden since before the time began, anyone who accepts this with faith can be born again and gain eternal life. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, namely, who received Jesus as Savior, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." Also, Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God." If you are a son of the president, how much authority you will have? But if you have the authority of the children of God the Almighty, then how big is your authority? You should obviously have great authority. I have such a great authority that so many evil people who are enticed by enemy devil try to kill me for no reason. They haven't even seen me or met me in person before, but they try to kill me for reasons that we cannot understand. They haven't even heard from me. They don't know about me, but they still try to kill me. But as they do so, God's power is more greatly revealed, and this is the law of God. We have an interesting thing in Pakistan too. It is an Islam country. But even some Muslims, when they see my photo on wall posters, they cut it and take it to their home and put it on the walls. They don't actually love me like you members or anything like that. But why would they do that? Even though they are not Christians, they heard news about me and know that great spiritual power is coming out just by putting my photo on their walls. That is why they do it and they are happy about it. Also, because people receive the answers to their problems by doing that, and this news is spread. For example, some demons left and they were healed of diseases. People try to get my photo. You should have the authority as children of God. Suppose there is a demon-possessed man, and if the demon just ignores you, it's because you don't have the authority of the child of God revealed. If the demons can see the authority of God's child, they will tremble, and they cannot do their work. They can work when you are not seen, but they cannot work in front of you. Then how can you receive the authority of God's child? If you practice the Word of God, you will be given the authority. God will give you spiritual faith from above, and that spiritual faith is your authority. The greater spiritual faith you have, the greater authority you have. As Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, we have citizenship in the heavenly kingdom. Where is your citizenship? Are you a citizen of Seoul, Korea? Or New York City? Not in those cities. But your citizenship is in the heavenly kingdom. I am asking a spiritual question, not fleshly one. I'm talking about spirit. So your spiritual answer would be, you have citizenship in the kingdom of heaven because you are children of God. Then, what are those who have their citizenship in Seoul City? It's fleshly citizenship. But your spiritual citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven. Which is more important, flesh or spirit? Of course, spirit is more important. And that's why you should first obey the word of God. Also, Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who believe in the Lord and are born again by the water and the Spirit, enjoy the authority of God's children. The enemy devil cannot claim his authority of death over them anymore. Now they become citizens of the heavenly kingdom and live within the protection and blessings of God, both on this earth and in heaven. This is the privilege for you who are saved. Viewing audiences, these sermons will be your way of salvation, way to receive God's love, and the way to be guided by the Holy Spirit. It will also be the way to solve all your problems in life and receive blessings. I earnestly urge you to accept these messages with faith, so that none of you will fall away from the way of salvation until the Lord comes back again. Also, I hope you will be diligently spreading this message and lead many souls to the heavenly kingdom. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I will be able to praise the love and grace of God and live in eternal glory in the city of New Jerusalem, the most beautiful heavenly dwelling place.
I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah! The Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings, scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe, the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, hypotension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones and make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits, be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened. Darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.